Welcome everybody to a special edition of the Roldorf Cafe. This edition is rather special because it's a wind-up edition of the Roldorf Cafe today. On Saturday, March 29th, I interviewed the owners and product managers of a few brands to have a chat about what they're up to and what's in their future. These interviews were completely unplanned and very much out in the open, as you'll hear, because it was on the terrace of the venue in San Francisco. I hope you enjoy the chats.
Let's get it started.
Yeah. Okay, so another interview at Wind Up Watch Fair in San Francisco. I am so very happy to be here with Rick Cosgrove from Solabs. I just was upstairs taking a look at these watches. They're absolutely fantastic. They're really fun. Just so honored that you've taken the time out to come down and sit with us to tell a little bit about Solabs and how it came to be and stuff like that. Thank you so much.
No, thank you. Thank you for having me. Excited to chat, tell you about the brand and all the other fun stuff we got going on.
Awesome. Thank you. So I think the Roldorf Cafe has probably one or two listeners, but maybe we'll gain some more out of this. I don't know. But tell us about what Solabs is and what Solabs means to you, how it got started, and all of that stuff.
Sure. Yeah, so Solabs was kind of an inception first of doing a 20th anniversary watch for my agency and working with Andrew of Astor and Banks to do that collaboration. And in the process of doing that, you know, we had been friends through Red Bar Chicago, and as we were doing it and designing this watch and, you know, from ground up design, nothing off the shelf, said we should really turn this into a brand and do something with this. And ultimately the goal of doing an automatic, which we just released with the Layer 2 at the end of last year. So the goal with it, though, is really just kind of being selfish with the design. And, you know, I personally have collected mid-century design since I was like 14 years old and been fascinated between the Memphis movements and specifically Werner Panton and his, you know, aesthetic for color and color harmonies and variation amongst those things. But simultaneously collected 80s toys and was a 80s, 90s baby myself and really appreciated the fun that took place with designs in fashion and even Swatch watches, which I've collected since I was in high school too, and bringing all those things along with the minimalism you'd see through Japanese designs to life through the Solabs brand.
Okay, so
There's a lot there.
Yeah, just you know, because taking a look at these watches, the case is traditional but not traditional. You know, I was watching people pick them up this afternoon and just really loving them. So, what is it about the case design, or is it the colors, or is it the hands?
Yeah. I think it's a mix of all of it. And I also like to, it's almost a sense of surprise you get from people too when they pick it up and look at it, and they'll stare at it and be intrigued, and then say, now tell me again, how do I tell the time on this? Or can you show me how the hands work? Oh my God, that's the running seconds. Wait, those are day and date discs that are now the gradient? So I think in general, I think first of all, watches are personal. I don't love the idea of the mass recognizable watch on people's wrist for status. I think it's something that should be for you and something that you appreciate and enjoy.
I agree. It's a very personal.
It is, yeah. You know, and I think that's what led even to the design too. It's like, I want to make something that I want to wear all five of these, and I do, or that even Andrew and we enjoy wearing these ourselves, and that they are something that you take an extra second to glance at, you know, whether it be the time or taking it off and looking at the case back and the rotor on it. But anyways, I think I forgot the question.
Yeah. That's all good. But, you know, with the bold colors and stuff like that, I saw a woman pick it up today.
Yeah.
And I stopped her in her tracks to say what it was. And it was, you know, the thing that said, she liked an Art Deco design.
Yeah.
And that's what she saw out of this. So
yeah.
Even though it, you know, there's a fun and folly with the colors and the combination of colors, it really is Art Deco.
Totally.
Yeah.
I think, and that's where Memphis was a pull from Art Deco, but blending it into kind of this postmodern, like, poke at the true modernism and even minimalism, which is kind of, I don't know, makes it even more fun for me. Is like, how many different things could I reference into this? And I think it is interesting to see whatever individuals seek out of it. With some, it is even, they're drawn to the polished case, where others immediately go to the DLC or the blasted because they don't want something that is as loud as some of the color schemes, but equally still is intriguing from a design perspective and shape perspective.
Yeah.
And I think that was what we were trying to go through with the range, was a different occasion, but also very multi-gender and non-specific to who's going to pick it up and actually appreciate wearing it.
Yeah. Do you think you would ever make a chronograph out of that watch?
Absolutely. And I think the chronograph, that is so the next thing we want to do is a tabletop clock, which is done, designed, ready to go move into prototype phase. Actually, I did prototype a couple of them, just 3D printed them, and those came out great. Yeah. But chronograph would be next. And I think the goal with the chronograph would be the same as this, which is, how do you take the complication and turn it into something that is not what it was originally intended for? So in this case, it was gradient discs instead of the day-date function.
Yeah.
Great, I get a little variation. Chronographs, I think a lot of people may not admit it, but I like running my chronograph when I put it on. Yes, it's great to tell quick time, but that's what my phone does too, precisely. Yeah. So when I put on a chronograph, I put on my Speedmaster, I just want to see it run.
Yeah.
So if I were to do that with Solabs, it's, how can I let the chronograph run, and what aesthetically is being created through it running throughout the day that is going to similarly give me different looks on my wrist the way the Layer 2 does with
and
the day-day.
And how you can play with colors with that.
100%.
Yeah. 100%. No, that's fantastic. So that leads directly into my next question, which is that there's been some consistent color choices from many brands out there that have been fairly bold. So a good example of that is Tiffany Blue. So I wanna ask you, from your perspective, what's going to be the next played out color?
Yeah, I think this is sad, but I think it's purple. And that's just my personal opinion, only because I've loved purple forever. It's like my favorite color. And actually, another watch and style that has influenced part of the brand is Oxen Jr. And a few years ago, I wrapped up my MBA at Northwestern, and my parents surprised me by what they took a trip out to Europe. And they said, hey, do you have time for a FaceTime call? And they called me up, and they were sitting with Bert from Oxen Jr. And they're like, we want to get you a watch for your graduation. And they wanted to get it in the purple of, like, Northwestern. And I was just, like, ecstatic. And it's one of my favorite pieces that I own. But from that point even till now, I've seen a lot of purple pop up in brands, which has been very, very uncommon up until, you know, recent. I'm hoping it doesn't fully get played out. I did actually just buy the purple Belcanto as soon as that was pre-ordered in December. But, I hope it stays kind of on the down low, but I think that could be another color that might pop. But for now, it's definitely still on the minty, the blue, the Tiffany's, and you know, you see a lot of it, and that's okay. I think in general, people being a little bit bolder with what's on their wrist versus the traditional black, white, blue.
Yeah,
it's a good thing. It's a good thing for everybody, because it means everybody's taking more risks and they're owning more than one watch, which is, I think, a good thing
good
too.
Good thing too. Absolutely. Okay, so ideas. you strike me as being an ideas person. You're creative. I can tell by just looking at the watch. So, is there an idea that you've had this year, or that you've had to kibosh because it's just like too crazy? Or?
Yeah. Well, so an idea that does come to mind when we started designing the Layer 2. Originally, I wanted to go down the route of. If for those who have seen the Layer 1, it was an acrylic case. We used plastic discs for the hour and minute hands. And the thought was, okay, now as we move into the Layer 2, I want to do a sapphire case. And what if we did sapphire disc hands? And Andrew said, hell no, we're not doing that. And not only just for cost, but also just the reality that a lot of risk comes with it. And I think, you know, another amazing brand that I love is Ming, and they've taken some great risks in the last few years, but one of the ones they took was with sapphire hands. And if you remember, a lot of people got them and they were misaligned because of the you know, temperature change and shipping and all those things. So sapphire was one that did get kiboshed. I still would love to splurge and do like a three-piece limited sapphire cased Layer 2 or something like that. And bring back that like completely transparent look that we love from the Layer 1 and the idea of what we were going for from the start. But yeah, Andrew squashed those dreams. with rightfully so. It was a good decision. Moving to steel. And it also challenged me to then redesign the hands to still follow the design language of the Layer 1, but be their own thing for the Layer 2.
Okay. So, on the Roldorf Cafe podcast, once in a while, we talk about some of the grimiest watches. We have in the past had a Toxic Tuesday post on Instagram fairly regularly about things that we've seen come across the bench that where people are bringing their watches in and they are just so grotty filthy. It just boggles the mind. And when I post these things, you know, we get a lot of replies going, why do people let their watches get to that state? So what's your opinion on why?
I have two thoughts pop to mind. One, I think the culture over the last 30 years has just become too lazy and throw away with things. Where I think to me, it's spend money on something worthwhile for keeping your lifetime and passing on as a special gift to somebody, whether it's family or friend. And I think the throwaway culture that we've been a part of is part of what leads people to just not treat things with the respect that it sometimes deserves. That's one. But the other, which I think is probably more likely, is people are afraid to just... I'm going to break it. If I take the bracelet off, I'm going to break it. If I try to clean this, I'm probably going to damage it and screw it up. Let me just give it to the guy or girl who knows what to do because I don't, and I'm going to mess it up. And I know that's at least my wife has always been like, can you get that vibrating thing that will shake off all the grime from my bracelet? It's disgusting. Like, well, you could do this too, but of course I will absolutely do it for you. So I think it's maybe a mix of those two things, but... I don't know, me personally, it's like when it gets to a point of like you can see the dirt in between a bracelet, it's like take it off and just get a toothbrush and
clean. You know, you see those ads of people being nose blind to certain smells in their places, right? But they're grime blind at that point. They don't see the built-up crud on the backside of the watch, right?
Yeah, and then you sit in your car and you look at the dashboard and what's in between the where their cup holder is, and you're like, I get it now.
Yeah,
you operate like that in your car too.
Okay. Maybe unless you're in Germany, because Germans take far more care of their cars than they do of other things. Right?
Yeah, so. There you go.
Anyway, thank you so much for taking the time, because I know it's incredibly busy here today. Thank you so much for joining us. It's been an honor.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you for having me. We'll be right back.
Hello, everyone. This is Jason, and I want to thank you for being with us today listening to the Roldorf Cafe podcast. You can hear more of our shows and when they're released on Instagram and our website. We cover many topics about watches, the industry, and the brands we're most passionate about. You can find the Roldorf shop at 307 West Cordova in Gastown in Vancouver. And we'd be delighted to welcome you and talk watches. Visit our website for more information at roldorf.co.